Welcome again. So it's such a gift we give ourselves and to all beings everywhere. This stopping, this pausing. Simple rest. It's funny how the mind makes a distinction between resting and activity. And yet, when we notice how nature lives, how it is abiding, living, enjoying, it's a deep relaxation and a lot of impressive activity, yeah? Just like us. Same, same. So what are you all noticing? What touches you? Any remaining conditioning that would like to know its true nature? So to speak, just unmute yourself with star six, and when it feels complete, star six again.
Hello, my name is Anne.
Hi, Anne. Welcome.
Hi. I'm a friend of Glenn from Colorado, and he urged me to call you and be with this. So I have two things. One is I feel loved by God. I feel connected. And yet, in the human realm, I have this huge thing about not feeling competent and that I can't act who I really am because I'll never live up to my expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I remember feeling that from when I was a little kid.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the mind has a concern about relaxation and naturalness that somehow it's not enough.
Yep.
So the mind likes to push us, and then, well, I don't have to speak about it. We all are intimate with that. So just in this moment, just thank everybody inside, and I know it's counterintuitive because often we don't like the services we're being given.
Yeah.
But it sends a signal to everything that you don't need their services anymore. The uncomfortable ones. So the thank you doesn't have to be sincere in the beginning. But after a while it does become sincere because almost as if the heart of the conditioning is in the right place, but it's just not skillful or wise in how it serves us. Just a few thank yous, and maybe if it resonates, you can say rest, rest, rest.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can say thank you to everything except myself.
Yeah, but now just there is something, I think of things as apps now, like on phones, and there's an app that wants to make sure we're not arrogant.
Yes.
Yeah, so just thank that app, because it has a misunderstanding about honoring ourselves that somehow we'll become all puffed up. I'm just thanking that. I promise to be humble. It's natural to have an aversion to arrogance. Hmm. And can you honor the innocence in yourself that wanted the best, wanted to be the best, or, you know, give good service or allow creativity to flow? Can you just honor that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just a few thank yous to the innocent natural presence that you are. And what's the response within when your deepest, truest self is honored?
By the world or by myself? 'Cause it's
by yourself in this moment.
Relaxation in my heart.
Wonderful. Yeah, and then thank the body now, because the body bore the brunt, so to speak, of the mind's pushing and controlling and...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because as you...
Yep.
Yeah, as you know, the body is nature itself, and we love the mountains and the trees and the lakes and the rivers, but we forget to honor our own body.
Well, as part of that, the other thing that's, see, I can honor the things like, I'm so grateful I can walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful I can see. I'm so grateful I can hear, because I see all those absences in other people that I'm around. But I have this pattern of processing other people's stuff, and one of the ways it's coming out is, I have rashes, and I've had one around my eyes for about a year, and I look kind of like a chipmunk that's been crying.
Aww.
And I've tried all sorts of things in the physical and spiritual healing modes, and hasn't made any difference. Still
mm-hmm.
there.
So can we go honor your nervous system? Because who we are is sensitivity itself, but I, for one, I really overlook that resilience was holding the sensitivity. So then the sensitivity would just get overwhelmed. So just bowing to the nervous system, they're like your musical strings. Really honoring them. And let them know it's safe to rest. It's safe to be.
As opposed to do.
Yeah, nicely said. Yeah, just a few more bows. I noticed that really honoring within, everything finds its own natural balance and relaxes. And then you can even honor the skin, which is, it's rare I think about it, but it's such a miracle.
It works very hard.
Okay, and can we bow to it?
Yes.
Invite it. Sometimes I think of the human mind as a rescue animal. So we have to stroke it a little bit. And just honoring the bright, shiny, natural intelligence that's behind all the files and the worries and the past. Does it like being honored?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how we never ever said thank you inside. I mean, you did. You were so wise. You were thanking your legs and hearing and seeing. But I certainly forgot to thank my mind. Not that it's mine. That's everyone's.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that I forgot to thank it, because that's the crux of why everything else gets held together.
Yes, it's beautiful. Yeah, and then we can even thank that the mystery that is the brain. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Well, okay, out of this, I will let my mind rest more.
Sweet, sweet.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, dear.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
This is Charlie, and sorry to hog the time.
Hi, dear.
How are you? I am I'm very frustrated by my body. I have a very difficult time with my hands. Every time I go to do anything, I have very bad carpal tunnel. I drop something. I'm walking like an old man. And it's basically terrifying.
Okay.
So then I go into a dull, depressed sort of place, since I don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to some cousins in town I haven't seen in 20 years, and I'm a little embarrassed to go there because I'm so, gotten so old.
Aww. Are they younger than you or same age?
Well, no, they're about my age. And they,
yeah.
You know, but there's just this fear and overwhelm.
Yes. But let's go be with that, huh, Charlie? Let's answer the call. And just a little tenderness from you, the benevolent presence.
Well, there is also the feeling that I've neglected my body. And also I could look at it more compassionately. I seriously have ADD and dyslexia.
Wait. You missed the best part. Go back a little bit.
Okay.
There was a natural regret about neglecting the body. So
regret.
Just bow to that. I'll join you.
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Well, tell the mind it doesn't have to know.
I think that goes along with forgiveness. And forgiving
myself.
Oh,
no, don't go there. That's too sophisticated.
All right.
Right now there's a genuine natural regret for neglecting the body. And it arose spontaneously. You don't have to do anything, but we're honoring that it feels true that there's a natural regret for neglecting the body. And even just saying yes to that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. I could feel, it feels like one part of me just wants to curl up in some maternal lap and cry. And then that's the satsang. So there is being a sense of being held. I don't, you know, but there's still a little child part of me that, is very fearful.
Yeah, and let's just be with that now.
And what I tend to do is withdraw. I mean, when I don't know how to deal with something like these conditions, I withdraw.
Yeah, but it's asking you in this moment, be with me, even that what you're calling the innocent child that just wants to be held, wants to curl up, just be with that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying, be with me.
Yes, I feel just that awareness and focusing on that of it, you know, it settles into a deep calm.
Oh, wonderful. And then just bow to your body a few times. Just really honoring it the way you honor the galaxy.
Okay.
Yeah, the body.
Well,
the body is innocent.
The body is innocent. I guess you remind me of the body. There was that other realm we were in and reminding me there's a very easy way I can get the body, and then I get head-on collisions when I try to do something, or I'm walking, or I'm lying on the floor now, and getting up from the floor ain't easy like used to be.
But Charlie, what you're looking for in your relationship with the body is something already there, very simple. We're looking for that ease again and comfort. And the body is made of that. The body is made of relaxation and ease and comfort and intelligence. And when we honor it, it lightens up. It comes out of its role of just a physical object. So it's a really simple thing when you notice density or awkwardness or heaviness, really bowing to the body again. Ah, and I'm reminding myself as I speak with you. It's really honoring the body as intelligent presence. It's made of the five elements, each one of which is eternal, wise, pure consciousness.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I very naturally can flow with that than some other things somehow. I see there's a sense of isolation and aloneness in my life.
Yeah.
So I don't, there is that fear of being alone, and at my age, you know, wanting companionship and
yeah.
family and friends.
Yeah, and say yes to that longing, natural longing.
I think even before you say yes to that, I think there was a way of acknowledging it was saying yes to it.
Beautiful. And today it's already manifesting, that longing, because you're going to be with your cousins.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different world, Thelma.
Yeah, but don't let the mind quibble. Watch out, our friend the mind, it'll just, you know, create the movie again.
Well, it's true. I'm going from low-income senior housing, and it turns out it's only a block away in the Claremont area where they're renting a house from a month from Milwaukee to get away from the snow.
Yeah.
Which means that they are from other spectrum economically than I am.
Yeah, but that's okay. They're still family.
Yeah, they, I hope, yeah.
Yeah, well, already. You'll find out, dear. But honor their true nature. So enjoy yourself. Don't listen to the mind. The mind has a complaining app.
Yes, mine definitely has a big, major, you know, 5-star general.
Yeah. And just bow to your mind and say, we're going to have a good time no matter what.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, love.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Much love, dear.
I also just, it's so meaningful to have you regularly every couple of weeks do satsang.
Oh, thank you.
Very beautiful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'd like to give a report on a process that was really quite wonderful, and yet that I'm not quite sure I got to the bottom of it, all the way back to the bottom of it. I was doing inner satsang yesterday, and this beautiful revelation about the permanence of truth, the permanence of what's permanent, and that sort of passed through my system like a mantra, permanent, permanent, permanent.
Yeah.
And it was so ample, and sort of gorgeous, big, fat, gorgeousness, and it sort of got me into that place of realizing the stuff that's not permanent, of course. And then the thoughts came, some pretty big, devastating words were sort of trained into me for a big chunk of my early life. And those words were, there's about four big ones: rotten, loser, faker, lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
classic,
yeah, right?
Insults.
So, sorry?
Classic insults.
Yes, classic,
yeah,
insults.
But can we pause for a moment? Because they have a power in them. Disrespect is very powerful, and it kind of batters this natural respect that we are. So just in this moment, just tell everyone inside, natural not to like that. Natural not to like insults and disrespect and projections that aren't true.
Mm.
Just a few times. Natural not to like that, because even when you said the words, I could feel they hit.
That's it, yes. That's precise. Yes.
Oh, natural not to like that. Ooh, ooh, ooh. No more of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think the process that, or the other piece of them that I discovered too yesterday, and it's still with me now, is that they thought they were permanent.
Ah.
And I was in this permanence already, and I said, I don't know if you can really be permanent labels, because you're little things in the bigness. And so I did the classic Pamela thing, like, who are you? What's your function? And what's behind your function? And there was a sense of that, they too went, oh God, that's right, we can't be permanent. but there, listen to this unbelievable beauty. They said that they were the cocoon around innocence, forming like a shield or shell, so that brutality would think that they were agreeing with brutality, and would fool brutality into leaving innocence alone.
Yes, exactly.
Never knew that.
That's why we can, as this warm-hearted sage, go back and thank all the bodyguards. Thank you so much for protecting innocence.
Yeah. It's such a paradox. It's wild. They were using themselves to fake agreeing, you know. And I cannot say that the innocence wasn't cowering beneath it. I think it really was. There was a feeling of that, and that's where I kind of couldn't. You know what innocence said, and it's saying it right now? I can't not cower until brutality stops it.
Okay.
I have to say that those labels, even though I feel like I know who they are, there's a sense that I'm still not in touch with how to help them, you know, unfurl and settle back into the permanence.
Well, you already are behind the shell and noticing the cowering in the innocence. Mm. So just bow to that. It's like we're bearing witness to what innocence everywhere has endured. And we're just bowing, and yes, 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 how brave you are just to have been with all that.
I'm very moved. looks like she's made out of, I got this feeling that she was made out of diamonds, made out of light.
And ask her if she can notice, though she is shakable, can she notice behind her shakeability, the unshakable and the resilience? We're just inviting her to look. She doesn't have to believe anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a feeling of like a recognition that something made out of diamonds and light is permanently strong.
Yeah, beautiful. And ask her to just get really, really big or to feel her rootedness. And we're just inviting her to notice what is. She doesn't have to add anything or edit anything.
I don't know if she feels rooted, but she certainly feels like a diamond, like
gorgeous,
unbelievably strong,
yes.
You know, and that she's much deeper than the shell that covered her. That's sure.
That was camouflage, the shell.
Yes.
Yeah, because humans, we didn't get any of the wonderful natural camouflage that animals and plants have. We had to have it inside. And here she is, shining. And just invite her to uncontain herself totally. Because she doesn't like being under house arrest either, you know. For her own good, so to speak. To keep her safe.
Yes, that's right.
She can completely rise up and uncontain herself.
Yeah, it's like, in actuality, she's, I would say, not just like an angel, but like an archangel.
Like
the one that hold power over, like, tremendous power.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Yeah, and can you just invite her to transmit and balance humanity or the mind, really? It keeps making all the trouble.
To transmit it, like, outward?
Yeah, just invite her. Tell her her medicine is needed here.
Oh, God, wow. It's like another revelation. Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, each one of us is the balancing function and can return everything back to its healthy naturalness. But part of the myths in humanity is it's only like some, you know, glorious messenger of God can do that. But no, everybody can.
Because
each one of us is a messenger.
Yeah. And I don't even know if she ever knew that she was that big and powerful either.
Yeah, because she's the meekest of the meek.
Right. She
would never claim any of this, and yet it's who she is, who we all are.
What a revelation. So is she the one to help brutality?
She's the antidote. Because brutality actually seeks out innocence. And it's not out of just perversity and I'm going to destroy innocence. It's in its completely clueless way trying to go back to innocence and harmlessness.
Oh.
So, you know, if you at one point feel a resonance, you can invite brutality to come sit, because at this point, like, any bully is finally going to be so sick and tired of the automatic bullying.
Mm.
And it's sort of going, help, 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 you know.
Wow, that will be one fascinating satsang.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Thank you for having that interest.
I know. I think it's my job.
That's good. That's good. We need everybody functioning as sages and doing the inner satsang, because it's good to have a sage on every block, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think those of us who have had brutality, if we can find our way back home to give satsang the brutality, it's much bigger than us. It's so big.
Yes.
And so many need it. Well, just like you said. Just like you said.
Ah, well, like you said. My goodness. Thank you.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Oh. I'm seeing a picture of in my heart mind of an armadillo for brutality, because, you know, it's armadillos are actually kind of charming when you look at them sort of lumbering along and it's luckily they've shrunk from the dinosaur era. But brutality hasn't shrunk yet, so we want to invite it to get back to its innocence.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait to report on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you deeply. Thanks to the group for holding us. Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Pamela. This is Surya from Los Angeles.
Hey, long time.
I know. It's been a long time. I'm really grateful that you've offered the telesatsangs. And I've been sitting in some satsangs lately, and there's just a profound comfort and peace and just something that I can't explain. And at the same time, there's this awareness of throughout my life, there have been all these misunderstandings that have taken place that have prevented me from being kind to myself and others, that have fed into addictions. Mm. I've been exploring 12-step programs again. And while I sit in the satsangs, and there's just this unexplainable thing that is so deep, and at the same time there's still something there that that feels very responsible about the addictions and the unkindness to myself, and just sort of wants to be sure of that going away someday, you know.
Okay.
That's as best as I can explain it. So there's this great gratitude and peace and resting, and at the same time, just the awareness that this addictive cycle has gone on for a long time.
Yeah. Well, most addictions are just the body-mind trying to sedate itself somehow. Yeah. And there's a lovely gentleman who gives satsang, but it's mainly about addiction. Do you know about him? Scott? Somebody. I can't remember his last name.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He gives a great, simple thing. So
his
you might check it out.
His last name is Kilroy.
Huh?
His last name is Kilroy. Dot Kilroy.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Oh, Scott Kilroy. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
All right,
it's nice when the two things come together, like satsang and then really simple, helpful things about addiction.
Yes.
But it sounds
Killaby.
Oh, Scott Killaby.
Killaby. K-I-L-O-B-Y.
Killaby.
Perfect. Thank you, dear. Yeah, so the first, let's honor that there's natural regret coming to sit about harming your beautiful embodiment and any harmfulness to others. We're really bowing to that and agreeing. And just underneath that is that deep and true longing to be harmless. In a very real, grounded way. And we say yes to that.
It feels very strange because there's this, at first, resistance to bowing to this thing. Because I really don't understand how that works to bow to something that I don't like about myself. And then at the same time, my mind kind of got out of the way a little bit and it was just sort of happening, though I couldn't understand it.
Lovely. Beautifully spoken. Yeah, and then maybe a few more bows for no reason to that.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so natural for the unconditioned to not like at least half of the conditioning. And so then there's just including that, noticing that, how natural it is not to like certain tendencies or coping strategies or protections. So natural. And then from here, the sage can ask inside, to addiction, what would satisfy it forever? Because it's looking for satisfaction, but it hasn't worked yet. Or self-soothing, or whatever it's up to. What would allow it to rest and feel and be satisfied forever?
Now, to be honest, for the first time, I felt some disbelief there, like it was saying, you know, I don't think there's anything you can do, is what it was saying.
Yeah, but there's some partial truth in that.
It's almost like it's lost in its own loop of misunderstanding.
Beautiful. Now that's
like it
so
got
accurate.
Lost.
It got lost. Yeah. So now here we're having a deeper satsang with it, because it's presenting its lostness. And just honor that it's intelligent. We're having an intelligent conversation with it, presence to presence. And ask it to look behind lost. And it doesn't have to get anything right or know anything. It could just look or feel into what's behind lost.
I think it's like it's a sense of being overwhelmed.
Yes. Yeah. And can you just agree with that? I mean, the infinite is overwhelming. Being in a remarkably sensitive human form is, you know, modern world is overwhelming. That's just what is. Yes, 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 yes. And natural not to like overwhelm. Kinesthetically natural not to like it. And then invite it to look behind overwhelm.
Seems a bit confused about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell it doesn't have to know anything. See, confusion, I find, is also a layer of defense, sort of. But behind it's a genuine not knowing. Like innocence is going, gee, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, yes, 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 natural not to know.
Yeah, it's like it's saying, well, if I'm overwhelmed, I can't deal with looking behind overwhelm right now.
That's cute. But ask it if it can notice there's more space and more relaxation. Can it notice that? Because you're being a friend inside.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like telling everyone inside they don't have to do anything they don't want to do, and they don't have to get anything right in this moment. It's like a complete no pressure. And they don't have to be spiritual or not spiritual, and like everything can just look for itself and see what it resonates with and what its deepest longing is. And it might not want to look behind overwhelm. It might just want to rest.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate wisdom. Rest, rest, rest. So even addiction is innocent, because if we really interview it, it just wants its naturalness. It wants to return back to natural presence and to be and enjoy and to feel safe and... Yeah?
I can see that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I'm always so surprised that everything is the same as we are, just presence. But as soon as, like when we went into our role of, human and son or daughter or student and all that, instantly we got all wound up, So also everything else that came into a form or a function and felt pressure got wound up and then didn't know how to get home to just being and enjoying and creating and so compassion and wisdom are not true, because once we look into the heart of everything, we see, wow, it wants what we want. Peace, balance, fun, love. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we're here in this life to we each kind of play a part, and when we're children, we start to get identity, and then, but then these misunderstandings happen along the way. And one thing that I realized, I think it was a couple weeks ago, was with my therapist, and this memory came up about my being, I think, maybe 9 or 10 years old, and I had gone on a trip to visit my cousins with my parents, and I had this wonderful time, and when we came back on the airplane, I could feel this great sadness about leaving my cousins, but it felt like I was going back to this emptiness at home and this loneliness. And when we arrived home, my older sister's baby had died.
Oh,
it was a crib death.
Oh.
And I guess I was so overwhelmed by all this information that I just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just kind of the family going through the motions of the funeral, and I remember hearing how upset my sister was and heartbroken and inconsolable she was, and but I wasn't connected to any of it. And then after I got home from the therapist, it was like I remembered that had happened, and I suddenly felt sorry for not having been there, even though I was a child and I was overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
I was just so sorry for not having been there, and I told my sister, who's also passed away by now, that I was sorry she lost her baby, and I just cried and cried, and it just all came up. But it felt like this great misunderstanding where I had taken on all this strange sense of responsibility.
But it's also, there's some partial truth in that responsibility, because you as compassion, when you're not in human form, you're holding everyone and everything. And then when it comes into human form, it still wants to do that.
Yes.
So we even honor that, like, of course. course you wanted to do that, but you didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially being so young. But just bow to the, all that deep love that you are that now is even wanting to bow backwards and, you know, bring the blessing and transmit the blessing back in what we call time. Just honoring that and thanking that. Because it's actually felt. The blessing can go back, as they say in India, 10 generations back and 10 generations forward. So here it's knowing itself and uncontaining itself, and then it can give its gift, big love.
I just want to thank you. It's been a little bit of it's been hard for the mind to follow here and there, but it's been a very beautiful interaction. I really appreciate it, Pamela.
And bowing to you. Thank you for unveiling yourself and also being so attentive within and to this unfoldment. It's so healing for everyone when one sage does that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. I've been pondering on just trying to discern, I think, between the difference between some of the loss I'm feeling with my daughter leaving home, turning 18 and leaving home, and this kind of looking forward and seeing, you know, my mom is, you know, getting older and I wanting to open up to a relationship, and I'm just aware that everything is so impermanent and that death, there's always going to be, the longer you live, the more you're going to hear about things like that. And I notice I'm not as hopeful or joyful about life now because of just realizing that there just seems to be a lot of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. But loss is wanting to come sit with you as natural joy and love. So just
it seems like it wants to sit with me with just grief.
Yeah, but even that can that come sit? Because sorrow is sorrow and joy are not two.
Oh, right. Okay. So right now I'm starting to feel some of the sorrow, and I'm just kind of coming and going, but I don't know where the joy is in that.
Yeah, but just invite sorrow to come sit. It already is in your living room, so to speak. And just hold it a little bit. It's just saying, be with me.
Yeah, but it feels like it's not going to end.
Well, ask sorrow, is that your longing, sorrow, to never end? Because that's certainly not what sorrow wants. I mean, it's part of the maturing of the sage, where the sage really notices suffering.
But I think what I have a hard time discerning is it seems like some of the sorrow is wrapped in this story now, that because my daughter left, that I don't have any meaning in my life.
Yeah, well, that story is not going to be a happy story.
Right, because that's what I'm trying. So what I'm trying, I guess
yeah,
what I'm trying to say is
asking you what's true. So better to liberate that story first before we go sit with the deeper sorrow.
That's what I was thinking, because I think a lot of it is story about.
Yeah. So the mind is asking you, is it true that we have no value since we're not caregiving our daughter anymore?
And we're not really young anymore.
Good point. Yeah. So
the combination of those two and being single.
Good heavens. So what does the heart say? The big heart, not the little shaky one. Because we're looking for the value that doesn't come or go.
Okay, let's see if I can tap it.
What's true? I mean, even the statement, I have no value, before anything's added after that comma, is not true.
Right.
Okay,
I know that's not true.
Very good. Now, just a few times, just confirm that inside.
It's kind of there, although I'm aware that society creeps in very quickly.
But don't even believe in that.
Right.
That perception of society isn't true.
Thank God. That's not true either, right?
No. So you can even, if it resonates, you could say absolute value is welcome here. Unshakable absolute value, because it's actually already here in what is, and by welcoming it, it's more notable.
Well, then I felt a relaxing and kind of a opening of my heart.
So then a few more times. Like a song of truth inside.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would suggest, since that one little part of your mind hasn't come to rest yet, it's a role play app. And it's a hierarchy app, and a deficiency app, all skillfully intertwined. But as soon as it starts talking like that, just say no thank you. Or not true. You'll have your own satsang you can give it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's all designed to bring you down.
Right.
So then you can be controlled by the mind. Yeah.
So to not be controlled by the mind.
Well, you have to keep your wits about you as the sage, because the mind is a hypnotist, and if it's talking about itself, I have no value. It's not talking about you. And we want to show the mind it has absolute value, because otherwise it's always scrambling to add and edit.
So that would be with anything, anytime you notice something.
Yeah, as soon as you go down energetically, you know something came in that wasn't true.
Okay.
Yeah, the only value, because kings come and go, queens arise and fall, and, you know, it all is coming and going in terms of role play. But the only thing that is ever the same is this natural presence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it has absolute value. Doesn't matter if it's a gardener or if it's, you know, a president of some amazing country, or if it's the greatest musician or the worst artist. Behind all that is an absolute value.
So seeing everyone else with absolute value is also helpful.
That I found very helpful, to the bow to the appearances.
Mm-hmm. And then catching your own mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bow to the mind. The mind is insecure because it's formless and it doesn't know itself as life or presence. So it's always going to be patching itself and then thinking it's awful and then patching itself and then, you know.
And what's the best thing to do there?
Oh, and just honor the mind as pure intelligence.
Like, don't listen to that part that's patching itself? Or?
Well, it's asking you. When it sends those signals, it's basically saying, help, 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 ouch, ouch. And we'll notice that the mind, in its role of mind, is suffering. And it's suffering all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ask it, wouldn't you like to just live your true nature rather than be a little computer that's slightly off?
Sometimes it seems to me that a lot of it is about not buying into that worldview of what success is or self-worth is, or
that's true, very
of
accurate.
Just seeing it so clearly that you just know not to go there.
Beautiful.
Or to catch it really fast.
Mm-hmm. But then ultimately, out of compassion, we're going to show the mind its true nature. Because otherwise it'll rest, worry, rest, worry, rest, worry, rest, worry. Yeah, so finally we invite it to look behind into its constancy. Because just as we just adore that felt sense of presence that's here, 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 here. Yeah. So also the mind is longing for that. And it thinks if it could get ultimate value out in the world and be honored and, you know, have all the love, then it could get that. But it's much easier if it gets that within itself.
And then it's out of time, too, right? It's not about a future.
Yeah.
Time. It's always now. Mm-hmm. It's always available now.
Yeah. And the enjoyment is here now.
Right.
And the plenitude is here now, and the satisfaction is here now. Otherwise, it's, oh, poor. And it's, the restlessness is in the mind. It's not in the body.
It starts in the mind.
Yeah, it starts in the mind.
So, working with the mind, well, working with the body is good too, I guess, but working.
Yeah, but just give the mind a kiss now and just stroke it. Invite it to relax into, because the mind has ultimate value already as pure intelligence. Bright, shiny. Oh.
Wouldn't it be great if we taught this to kids?
Huh?
Wouldn't it be great if we taught this to kids?
It would be so good. You know, the first day at kindergarten.
Right.
Okay, here's how it is. And it's going to be fun. And you don't have to get it right. You can. Sweet.
Mm. Thank you so much.
Oh, likewise, dear.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hi. On that same, kind of on that same course, I was kind of working with the last caller with I'm not enough, I should be more.
I know. Wow.
Yeah.
That's such an ancient projection from the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm never enough no matter what I do.
Yes, that's right. I'm sure, like, even these amazing musicians and artists and golfers and kings and queens and who knows what, they probably sit around going, wow, I've achieved everything I wanted and I have universal acclaim, so why do I feel sort of, like, empty and deficient and less than inside?
I'm still not enough.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a little compassion for whatever it is that's not happy. And since we are aware of it, it's not us, so to speak. It's not a personal deficiency. It's just something woven into the tapestry of fullness. So just see what it needs.
Somehow to be told that it's enough just as it is.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't do anything.
That beautifully said. And just beautiful thought song.
But then the voice comes in, but then you're lazy if you do that.
I know, so that's okay. So just welcome that. See, once again, see, that's the little app in the mind, the judging, disapproving, projecting app.
Yes.
So give it a kiss.
Mwah.
And say, aren't you tired yet?
Aren't you tired yet? Yeah, I think it really...
Aren't you tired of, like, it's like a little...
I see all these wheels and gears in the mind being all rusted.
Oh, beautifully said. There was this funny story I heard about a little boy who was in a car driving from Santa Fe to Albuquerque. And there's a mysterious factory that you know, there's lots of, like, big fluffy clouds come out of this part of the factory. And the little boy turned to his mom and he went, look, Mom, a cloud factory. So I think of that little app in the mind, you know, that's projecting on us and bringing us down. That's the cloud factory.
Yes. Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So just see if it likes being a cloud factory, if it would like to go back to its naturalness.
It really wants to go back to its naturalness. And it is, like you said, it rests and then it goes out into unnaturalness. Then it comes back
So just see what it needs in order to root and rest and live as naturalness. What does it need?
Well, the word approval came up, but I...
Yes. And as this big heart, just shine on it.
And just kind of allowing life to show up naturally instead of always trying to feel like I should make it happen. Mm-hmm. That should word again. There it is. Yeah.
And when you asked that, what it needed, I heard a little voice say, I want to know I have value too.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Because it's talking about itself all the time. I have no value and I should do something and I should get more respect or whatever it's saying.
Yeah.
And just honoring it also as pure presence with absolute value. Let it know it has that.
Just reminding it that it has absolute value.
Yeah,
yeah, that innocence. Yeah, and I work with children. I love telling them this. So it's telling the innocence here, too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it does, or it will always have that absolute value.
Absolute value. It's a given. It's part of the natural state of being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolute value. Okay, that has to be a sticky note on the mirror, doesn't it?
There you go. Until and finally, you know, when we're having satsang with that part that it's almost like innocence was embarrassed, it had to play that role. Not,
yeah, there is an embarrassment in it.
Like conditioning, deep down, it has like a shame and embarrassment. Like, why did I volunteer for this kind of thing?
Yeah.
And like, I can't remember how to get back to my pristine, shiny happiness.
Yeah, and then when I, and then when those are those long periods of times when I am resting in that or as that, it almost feels like, well, I don't deserve this because not everybody's able to do this.
Oh, and that's humility. And
oh,
give it
okay.
a kiss and go, no, everybody can have this.
Okay.
Everyone can have this.
Yeah, I want everybody to have it. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could give it to everybody, I would.
Well, you can, because that's why I like the inner satsang, because as sages, we're there's only one conditioning, and there's only one nervous system,
yes.
and only one mind, and, you know, there's a few apps, but everybody got the same ones.
Mm,
so when they see what's true within ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then it kind of downloads everywhere.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
So this
so
longing
I'm allowing it for myself, I am allowing it for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also this, it answers the longing to be of service to all beings, which
yes.
is the heart's own longing. And I know you are with the children and friends and family and your
mm-hmm.
very own self, but here now it can transmit everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, that's so precious. And that is where that I should be more sense comes from. It's almost like a, it's trying to help
mm-hmm.
to adjust that. It's like turning that around
mm.
to the more is already here.
Oh, beautifully said.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and its longing really was to uncontain itself so it could transmit.
Yes.
Rather
oh,
than
sweet.
Being all curled up inside going, I can't, I can't, I can't.
That little engine.
There you go, that could.
That old story, that little engine that could, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Thank you. Beautiful.
Mm.
Just a perfect little fine-tuning. Thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you for letting all those innocents that you are present with know their beauty.
Yeah, they are so incredible. Really, just so blessing. Big blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, love. And kisses to you.
Mwah,
mwah. Ah,
thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kate.
Hello.
Hi, it is 11:45.
It is. Amazing.
It is. Time must go by quickly.
Yeah, so I just want to thank everyone, including our dear hostess, Kate, and East Bay Open Circle. Thank you, everyone, for your transparency and openness and authenticity and beautiful inner satsang and wisdom. I'll pass it over to Kate.
Thank you. I would like to second that. It is so beautiful that we can all gather and support each other in this way. Pamela will be joining us in March on the 15th, as well as the 29th, same time, same place. So again, thank you. And if you would like to say your goodbyes, go ahead and press star 6. And thank you again.
Bye, Pamela. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for holding the energy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Much love.
Much love
to you.
Much love. Joy. Love.
Thank you, Pamela.
We should sing.
Bye.
Bye.
We love you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Lasting love. We don't want to stop. We want to keep going.
No, we don't.
Forever and ever.
Love.
Yeah.
Love. Your love.
Love. I am the love. You are the love.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay. I'm
going to
sign off.
Hi,
everybody.
Bye.
Yes,
everybody.
You're
all beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you,
Pamela.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So much love.
Love away. Bye,
Kate. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate. Bowing.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.